Hello and howdy do. My name is Brooke and welcome to episode
6.
I think of the roost. Thank you for listening in. Today we have a returning guest in our little coop, and it's Lee. And I know we all missed him so much because I don't know, maybe it's been like 2 episodes since he's been here or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, Lee, introduce yourself back to the roost.
Hey, I'm Lee. I'm a returning guest. It's been like 2 episodes and I've been here. I don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Maybe it's been 4. It depends on how fast I get these episodes out.
Do you have stocked up?
Yeah, I have so many of them that I haven't posted yet. I just don't feel like editing them. So.
Wow.
But we'll make sure to get this one out. So this is either going to be episode like 5 or episode 7. We'll
for
see.
Sure.
For sure. But today we have Lee. We have him here today to talk about another one of his projects. And like I said, like literally like 2 seconds ago, I'm gonna say we're not promoting it, but we actually are promoting it. So maybe if he gets like a pre-save link or something like that. But the name of the album is Bittersweet, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
I would hope so. That would be really messed up if I didn't get it right. But yeah, we're just here to talk about the project with Lee and have like a little bit of a discussion about it. So Lee, tell us a little bit, like a little summary of Bittersweet.
Bittersweet, it is an album.
Dang.
I guess. Yeah, it's my my debut album. I've never made one before, so that's because that's what debut means. It's coming out the 30th. So that's cool. I don't know. It's pretty awesome. It's my favorite thing I've ever made. So yeah, and I think it's pretty good. I think it's really good, actually. So that's it.
That's about it. Great. Yeah, I got to listen to like a little sample of like the song. No, not a little sample, the whole album basically.
Yeah.
Like beforehand. And hopefully, I don't know if like you're allowed to give out samples for like the, you know, because I remember for our first episode that we had with you, I like put like a little sample of Speed Limits in the beginning and end. I don't know if that'll be okay now. We'll figure it out, I'm sure.
That'd be fine.
Yeah. But if you are listening to this after it is already released, please, please take a look at it because it's really nice. And yeah, for, it's a debut album. So let's be nice to Lee, you know?
Yeah.
But let's see. I don't really know where to start with this project. Well, so I remember seeing on the Instagram questionnaire, someone had asked you what inspirations you had for this album. Do you want to open up about that?
Do you mean like broadly or like more specific, like with specific artists?
You can do either one. All right.
Well, like more broadly, I listened to a lot of gospel music while making this, a lot of like alternative R&B, folk music, a lot of synth heavy music. I don't know what I guess electronic music. So those are like the main inspirations with this project. There's a bit of hip hop in there too, mainly with like the production. More specifically, I guess Frank Ocean would be a big inspiration. The album, Bon Iver, he's a fantastic folk artist. He's a huge inspiration too. I think right before making 16, which is my favorite song on the album, I listened to 22 Million, which is his third album. And I just think that's a really beautiful project. So yeah, there's a lot of, a bit of Stevie Wonder too. I love him. A little bit of Kanye West even. So there's a lot of, and there's also like a lot of shit that I'm probably like subconsciously drawing from that I'm not even aware of. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. So it's like a mixing pot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What about the 22 Million album? What about it in particular, like, striked you with and like kind of inspired 16 in terms of, I'm guessing, like producing the actual song?
Yeah. So 22 Million is just like a very forward thinking album production wise. Like it's technically folk music, but like not really. Like there's a lot of like aspects of like electronic music and like even hip hop, and like he even uses like auto-tune during the entire album, but it's like it's really like a weird effect. I think it's called like the Prismizer. What it does is it's like a real time harmonizer for your voice. So like you speak and like it splits your voice in like three different channels, and it like pitches it up and pitches it down, and it's like it's really cool. It gives a really cool effect, and I used something similar to that, not that exactly, but something similar to that throughout a lot of, not just 16, but like a lot of the album. I think on Better Days too, and a few other songs.
Yeah. It's interesting. So you were just trying to capture that effect with some of them? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. And so those were about all of your like inspirations for this, in terms of like musically at least.
Yeah, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll tell you, like, from listening to the album myself, it felt like very like intimate and like ambient, honestly. Mm-hmm. Was that like purposeful? I would hope so, at least. But was there something, were you trying to capture the essence of that with this album?
For sure. I think so. Because I feel like Blonde by Frank Ocean is my favorite album of all time, and that is a very ambient album. It's a lot of it is stripped back for the most part. So I think honestly, like most of that ambience and like style of production just comes from like me subconsciously wanting to create Blonde. So I had a listening party with one of my bands, Bleach's Only Child, and like throughout it, while they were listening to the Bittersweet, I was making jokes. It's like I'm gonna change the name to Whole Lot of Frank Ocean Biting, or I don't know.
Yeah. So was that the reason why you chose to make it an intimate album, or was this like this come from a different place?
I chose to make it intimate because the topic matter of the entire album, the entire record is pretty intimate. It's also like just really depressing. It's more depressing than I realized, because I sent it to my girlfriend and she said she like cried a lot while listening to it. So I was like,
aww.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you really think about making it that way, or were you just kind of going with the flow?
I kind of just went with the flow. For the first few 2 days of working on it. Not really weeks, because like this whole thing was made in under a month. Yeah, with the exception of like one instrumental that I produced like 4 months ago. But for the first few days, I was kind of just going with the flow, and it sort of just morphed into like this, I guess, concept album, but like not really, because it doesn't really have like a story going like throughout the entire record, but it is entirely focused on like in its whole one big concept.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that at least some of the songs are connected. I mean, at least the last two.
Yeah. For sure. That, yeah. Like the entire idea with the record is that like it's kind of like a journey through like these different issues or problems that people would have to deal with in like day to day and like life in general. But like nearing the end of the record, the last two tracks, the second to last track is called like What Is Bliss, and that's sort of just like the point where like, you know, even though you have to deal with all of these issues and all of these problems, there are like ways to reconcile with these and like ways to like cope and find happiness. Whether that be through like a person or through like a hobby or something. And that's essentially what the entire last track is about. It's just about like, it's just like essentially just like a 2-minute monologue that my girlfriend had recorded. I asked her to record. I told her, I need you to record something for me. Just tell me what brings you bliss. That's all I said. And she comes back like a day later. She finally recorded it. And she gives me this like 1 to 2 minute monologue of about her just like talking about these things that like make her happy and family and like being out in nature and shit like that. And I just, that was that entire recording, like that my entire idea with coming to her to ask that was just meant to be like a little interlude on the album. But when I listened to it, I like ended up like crying, because it just like it beautifully summed up the entire idea of the record in such like a concise way. Like You Are My Bliss was supposed to be like an entirely different track, like there were verses that I had recorded and everything, and like once I heard that, I just like kept the chorus and I ripped all the verses and I just put in that audio recording under like the I guess gospel kind of instrumentation that I had made for it, and I made that the outro, because like I said, it just like it beautifully summed up the entire album. I don't know, I just think I just thought it was really cool how she came to me with that.
It just finished even, the journey.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it really was a great end for the album, I think. I have to say those last two tracks were really, really like, yeah, they hit hard. Yeah. I mean, like I wasn't like sobbing or anything, but like it was really, I do say like it, with a Gift From God and Angel Sing, which are like the seventh and eighth track.
I think.
It did feel like at that point in time, I know there's not exactly a story for this album, but it definitely did feel like it started to turn up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like you were getting towards the end of that album. And then What Is Bliss kind of felt like a climax almost. And then You Are My Bliss kind of shut it down in a really satisfying way.
Yeah. It's really, it's really cool that you said that. Because, I really wasn't thinking when I had, like, put the track list together. I was just thinking, like, I want you, like, What Is Bliss and You Are My Bliss to be the final two tracks. Like, that's going to be, like, the way it is. And it kind of just, like, melded into this, like, beautiful, like, just, like, not really story, but, like you said, it's got a great flow to it. And I hadn't even noticed this until I think Pedro or Autumn Exile in Bleach's Only Child, he like had pointed out during the listening party that he was like, you know, the first half's bitter, like second half sweet. And I didn't even think about that. And it's like, yeah, I kind of subconsciously did that, which is like really, I don't know. I don't want to give myself any credit because I wasn't thinking about it at all. But like,
you should still give yourself a pat on the back for it. I think that's where the subconscious thing comes into.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was really cool. And it like, it kind of flows like sonically as well, which is like pretty awesome. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just really happy with this whole project.
Hey, and it's great to hear that you're happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that definitely, you know, I know that you put a lot of work into the things that you make anyway. But just to know that even subconsciously, without you like doing it on purpose, you are very well, how do you say, in touch with the theme that you're going for. I think that stands to say a lot about the work that you put into it. And I'm always like blown away when you say like, oh, I made this in about a month. It doesn't make any sense. You made this all in a month and it you managed to make, because you said earlier that it's not a story, but it's still talking about these experiences that people are having.
Yeah.
Is that correct? It's like experiences and,
Because like, I don't know, like the second track, Late Nights, is about like anger issues. 16 is a story. It didn't happen to me, but it's a story of like a kid, whose like mother passed away at the age of 16. And like, yeah, it's just like the first tracks, like 1 through 5 are really just about like different kinds of issues that, yeah, like people deal with. Wow, Wow, Wow is about drug addiction. So yeah.
Interesting. You know, I was actually very curious about Wow, 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 because I originally wasn't understanding where you were trying to capture with it, but, now that you say that, it definitely does sound like, not like drug addiction. I don't know what that sounds like, but it definitely you can easily the essence is captured. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I really think I outdid myself with that song because the entire track is like very happy, but when you really like delve into the subject matter, which is of course like drug addiction, it's super dark, and I feel like that's like the entire, yeah, that's the essence of being like high or something. You're happy but only momentarily, and you're only using that to like mask up like this shit that you can't deal with. And I feel like that, I don't know, that really captured the essence of that idea, that song.
Yeah. Because it does feel like when you say wow, it's you're outdone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess a lot of people resort to drug addiction in order to deal with that. Things like that. I see. So, where did it start in terms of like the music making? Was there like a certain song that you started with, or was it just, could you like explain the process of like how the songs were made and in what order?
The first song I'd ever made for the album, if you want to go like really chronologically, I made Andrew Sing about 4 months ago, but that was before like I had any idea of making an album. I just made the instrumental and I was like, oh, this is kind of pretty, but I'm probably never going to use it. But I did.
yeah.
But if you want to talk about like when I had set out to make an album, the first song I'd made was Soon Enough.
Okay.
Which is the first track, funny enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And then I made Soon Enough. And I think Late Nights came after that. Yeah. And then, yeah, I made all of the songs like that were just like they were demos pretty much. And for the next like week or two, I started to like come back to every song, like work on it a bit, and this song a bit, and then work on a like a different song for a bit, and just like really flesh out all the songs until I felt like all of them were completed, you know. Angel Sing, Angel Sing actually had what was a song that like I had recorded for, like I had done vocals for while working on the album. But I felt like it was just, I felt like it just didn't really fit. So
with the theme that you had going on?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So you kind of changed it to fit a little bit.
For sure. Yeah.
I see. So you basically did it in order, but you started them out and then you could come back to them until you were finished.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you did that over a course of a month.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive. That's cool. And that's pretty cool. Is there any like song in particular that you want to discuss in terms of like any musical struggles that you had with it, or just overall something that you wanted to point out that maybe listeners wouldn't get on their first time around?
Not really. No.
Okay. No.
I feel like the album starts off super sad.
I think so.
Yeah. Cause Soon Enough, it's,
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. The idea of the entire song is to like, was like a reminder more so like to myself that like no matter how bad things get, it'll end. Like,
yeah,
yeah, it'll end soon enough.
Soon enough.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that was your personal reminder.
Yeah.
I see. One of the things I always like discuss whenever it comes to your songs, and I mean, I haven't listened to your entire, I'm sure I've listened to a lot of your songs, but one thing is it feels like you're drowning in a lot of your songs. I don't know if that makes sense. It just has this like feeling of drowning, which I guess makes kind of like a lot of sense for the first few songs, because just like, you know, you're kind of falling. It's bitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's also like the vocal effects that also just kind of affect that. I I enjoyed it. This the voice effects are always really good. That's like the one thing I can really like point out with your songs.
That's great. I'm glad.
Yeah, I remember that you had said once that you took inspiration from Joji. Voice effects at some point. I don't know if you did it for this album in particular, but I've like heard it before.
Yeah, a little bit. Joji is actually what got me into music in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I fell in love with his early stuff. His like kind of production was just very like ambient and spacey.
Yeah.
And textures he used were super interesting to me. So I wanted to make that myself. So I did, and they're like, those songs are up somewhere, SoundCloud. I haven't taken them down yet because I can't.
You physically can't, or you just don't want to?
I can't. I do want to. I definitely do because they're terrible. But I just I can't take them down.
That's very understandable because, you do take a lot of inspiration, I guess, from Joji.
Yeah,
I would say. Which, of course, is never a bad thing. I think it's great that you were inspired so much by a musician to get into music, and now look at you have a debut album.
Yeah, that's really crazy.
You come so far.
Yeah, I think the one thing I took from him was the way he used his vocals. So, like, what he would do is he would just record one take, but then recorded an entirely different take in octave up, and just layer that. But I don't know if you noticed, I don't really have that much range as a singer. I have a very deep tone, so I can't really sing that high. But I definitely tried when I was first starting out. So yeah.
Are those like attempts still up on SoundCloud?
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
I gotta see those for sure.
You can search for them if you want.
I don't know how to search for them.
That's like, exactly.
It's so terrible.
That idea still like comes back with this project. But it's not me straining to sing an octave up. It's just, I just took the same take and I pitched it up.
Mm-hmm. So you're still, you found your own way to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds, I think just the mechanicalness of it, for lack of a better term, honestly sounds like better to me, in my opinion.
Then if someone didn't do that?
Yeah, then if like the way I went about doing it, like artificially pitching it up, I think the artificialness of it, it sounds better in my opinion if it was like natural.
I see.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of contemporary music snobs would disagree with me.
Probably. Yeah. I don't really find a problem with that. I think it's Tech, if you're using technology to make music, why not use it to just do something that's innovative or different about with that? Yeah. You know? Like, yeah. I really don't think auto-tune's bad. When it's like incredible and like insane auto-tune, I think it's fun.
Yeah,
it's a big vocal effect that you, because you can appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, I feel like even the use of auto-tune and like those. At the usage of it came from like Joji, of course, but I think like the reason I used it definitely stemmed from my inspiration from Bon Iver, because what he did, like going back to 22 a Million, what he did with that project was he used autotune to create an interesting contrast between him singing and what he was talking about. So like what he was talking about was very open and vulnerable and very human, but he was masking it with this effect on his voice that was very mechanical and robotic and quite literally the opposite. And I feel like that created like a super interesting contrast throughout the entire album. So I definitely drew from that a bit when making Bittersweet, for sure.
I see. So this really was a mixing pot, kind of like a, I guess, a love letter to, well, not a love letter, but just like this is inspiration that you've had really coming together in full force.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. Interesting. I'm like looking at the track list right now. I think we've touched on most, I'd say about all of them. We sort of kind of talked about Gift from God and Angel Sing.
Yeah, Gift from God is actually a song dedicated to my future children.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's not much beyond that. It's just, yeah, that's it.
Interesting.
The original title of it was To Isaiah and Alexandria. Sure. What I want to name my future children. Alexandria is actually my sister's middle name. So it's going to be, they're going to be named after their aunt.
Their aunt.
Yeah.
Interesting. And is there any reason why you decided to, like, I guess, like, put that in this album in particular?
Again, with like the concept of like finding bliss, I felt like I think I know that once I have children, they're going to make me like really just a really happy and fulfilled person. So yeah, it kind of plays into that idea of like finding happiness within people specifically.
I see. Interesting. So that's a part of the coming up part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about Better Days in particular?
Better Days, that's just kind of like, it's about like reminiscing, I guess. Like about feeling so like down, like in this dark place, that you'd like give anything to go back a few years, and like, because those were the good old days, you know. That's pretty much what the entire song is about.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so it seems like with tracks 1 through 5, so like Soon Enough, Late Nights, Bittersweet, Wow Wow Wow, and 16, it's kind of just struggles.
Yeah.
Right. And then Better Days is kind of reminiscing, but then the rest of them are kind of looking forward.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. That's good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I hope whoever else ends up listening to it is also able to appreciate the I'm trying not to say the word intimacy again. What's like another word for intimacy? But just the tone of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's great to do this for like a first album too. I feel like it's a great way to kind of lay yourself bare. Do you think that you would, in another like time, maybe have made a different album that was focusing on another concept, or do you think this is perfect for your mission as a artist?
I was really kind of pushed to release this because I felt like the topic matter and the entirety of the album was just really depressing and really vulnerable, and it was like the thought of releasing that to the public and having it be judged was really scary to me, but my friends, a few people who I talked to about it, about that feeling, where they like, they told me that this album would, I don't like blow smoke up my own ass, but it would, like, a lot of people would relate to it. And because just a lot of people relate to vulnerable and just human things. So I think the thought of people like relating to it and finding their own meaning within it really pushed me to actually want to release the project.
Yeah. I see. So at first you were kind of afraid about putting that out there.
For sure.
But it's almost like because of the fact that you're putting that out there, it would kind of, I don't know, I guess people will be able to relate with it more.
Yeah.
That's great though. I'm glad your friends encouraged you to do it.
Me too.
Because it, and I feel like this is, like I said, it's a great first like album to have. Not to say that if you put anything else out, it would have been bad or anything like that. But I think it's great. Yeah. I can't really think of, I don't know. I guess I can't really think of like a more great first album to have when you think about it in that sense, at least.
Yeah.
Because I like imagine like 5 years, 10 years down the road, and you've got like you've amassed a great following or something, and then you put this out. not to say that it would be bad or you would lose subscriber or anything, but I guess being that intimate with a lot more people might be a little difficult.
For sure. Although, yeah,
I'm sure like you'd be able to handle it easily.
Yeah, I feel like if I dropped this, once I had like an actual like big following, they'd all just spam the comments like, hey dude, this is cringe.
This is cringe.
Yeah.
And then but I think this is great because I guess it's open in the beginning. Not to say that if you Ted did it years down the road that it would be like you just were lying to people or anything. But I think it's, I guess like your followers will know what they're getting into to begin with.
Yeah.
You know? Hopefully that doesn't create any parasocial relationships though, because we don't need that. Because they think, oh, I know Lee, so I know him now. I listen to
I know him personally. Yeah.
We don't want that.
I feel like Bittersweet is, I feel like I've peaked. I'm gonna make everything else I make is just gonna be worse in comparison.
I mean, I don't think that's I guess you all feel that way about anything that you create. Like this is, I can't get any better than this, but
yeah,
really, I think there's only one way to go and that's up. Sure. I mean, this is your current magnum opus and that's completely fine. And this is great. You know, this is going to be, as of right now, this is the best thing that you've created as far as I'm concerned, but you know, I don't know. I know that you don't, you're not trying to limit yourself, but don't limit yourself to this being the best thing that you create. I say this as a person that knows nothing about music.
No, I feel
but
like...
I
feel like in the moment, I feel like this is going to be the best thing I ever make, but because it's the moment is right now, and it's exciting, and it's like new. But I think probably in like a few years I'm gonna end up hating this project because I've just made so much, hopefully I'll make so much better material than it, hopefully, but I don't know.
Who knows? I think you should just ride out what you're having right now, because I don't know how many, I mean, I'm sure you've had a good amount of people listening to this. And yeah. I'm sure they've all heavily enjoyed it. And I think you should, you know, just let ride it out. Because I guess for you, you have high expectations for yourself in terms of the music that you create.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but I think everyone else, like, they're enjoying what you make. I don't know how much that, like, matters, but everyone else is definitely enjoying it.
I'm glad. I'm really glad. It's nice that people like me, my stuff, not me.
not you as a person, just your stuff, just like the music that you create. They're like, Lee, that guy. Ugh. But his music, excellent.
Yeah, I'm kind of like. I don't know if I should make that joke. Never mind.
What is it going to get me banned?
I was going to say I'm kind of like Chris Brown in that way.
Oh no! Oh no! We don't.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to promise anything. Just don't end up like Chris Brown.
I'm not. No,
do not do that.
I won't.
I mean, you will really lose subscriber, or maybe you won't, and you will have a career for like a decade longer than you should have.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
A bunch of teenage boys on the internet with me as their profile picture being like, it was years ago.
You know, my brother likes Chris Brown and he's 23. So. Ow.
Sorry.
Ouch. I know. Sucks that my brother listens to Chris Brown. But no, it's I don't think you most definitely will not end up like Chris Brown.
I
think
no.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, definitely don't want to. If anything, I feel like I'm gonna just release two albums throughout my entire career, and both of those albums are gonna be like 20 years apart.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're not gonna make another album for 20 years.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna make another album like tomorrow, like the whole thing tomorrow. I'm just not gonna drop it for 20 years.
Isn't that literally Frank Ocean? You really are taking inspiration from Frank Ocean to the max here.
For sure.
And in 20 years, like this, when this podcast is like dead, I'll come back and then I'm like, okay, guys, it's been, you know, a while. We've got something back. We got another. Yeah, a little like it's Lee. He's back. Can't wait. I'll keep the podcast up just for that reason, just so that in 20 years, like I can have another episode.
For sure, that'd be amazing.
That would be great. Yeah, this podcast will just be like reduced to just me having you on for interviews. Like, yeah. You promote your stuff. That'll be like what it's here for. I'll like change the name and everything. It'll be great. But yeah, I'm trying to like think of like what else. Is there anything else in particular that you want to discuss about the album, or just do you want to just talk about your possible like your career as a musician? Like where you're trying to go from here?
I think I'm gonna take a bit of a break from solo music. Solo music. Yeah, just releasing stuff on my own for a few months. Probably the rest of the year. Just so I can focus on Bleach's Only Child.
It's a yes.
Very new and exciting project that I'm a part of.
We should have them on the podcast. I don't know if they'd be into it though, but
I think they would. I think they'd be down. I hope they'd be down because that'd be dope.
I'll get another band in the in the Roost Discord. I cannot wait for that. But yeah, tell us a little bit about Bleacher's Only Child.
So Bleacher's Only Child, in the sense where it matters, is just Matthew Pedroza, because he produces everything. He's the guy who like sends it to playlists. He's our manager. He's our video editor. He makes all of the lyric videos for all of our songs. He's a graphic designer. He makes all of our covers. He reduces everything. I think I mentioned that. But in the sense that matters, he is the only member of Bleach's only child. But everyone else, I think Lucas, Prometheus, Pedro, Paul.
Paul.
Pierce Leonard is his artist name. Pierce Leonard. All of us, we make up, you know, the artist, I guess, the vocalist. The people who sing, who do the singing, and we're mainly a hip hop, the rapping, I guess.
I see. So you guys are mostly, is that the genre you guys go by?
For the most part, there is a bit of pop, I think, too. A new song coming out soon. I don't know what I can talk about, but I actually produced this one. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Can't wait.
And it's different from our other stuff, just like how every other song is different from our other stuff.
How many songs have you released?
We have 3 out.
Maybe I'll link them here.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
Amnesia, which is our first song. I had nothing to do with it because I wasn't part of the group when that was being made.
Well, we won't link that one. We'll link the other one. Yeah.
Filthy. Okay. Which is like a rock song. Instrumentally, like a rock and like boom bap hybrid, which is pretty interesting. And we have BET. That's just like a Memphis, Tennessee like funk track.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And how did you, like, were you invited to the party or? Did you just kind of get in there?
So Matt had like posted about it in like a Discord server, like there was a collaborations channel. He posted about like a collective, and I was like, "Hey, I'm down to join as a producer." I originally joined as a producer, and the guys like 4 or 5 beats I made, and they just hadn't used them until now. I'd originally joined as a producer, but I kind of guess morphed into like a vocalist.
Awesome. So how many people are in the group again?
Six
people. And has that been all of you guys coordinating that together?
It's
with 6 people.
It's been pretty surprisingly easy.
Really?
Yeah, like we work pretty fast. Our average for like making an entire song, like working on it, is about like 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, because Matt will make a beat or an instrumental or something, will produce something, and he'll like send it or like show it to us in a call or something, and like we'll just do that for a while until like Lucas is like, "Yo, that's dope. I want to spit a verse on that, or I want to write to that." That's what happened with BET. Lucas wrote the first verse, it kind of just stemmed from that. I came up with a hook for it, I also had a verse, but it got cut, thankfully, because it was terrible. So yeah, that's kind of just our work process, I guess.
Work in process.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's okay. I never know like how they coordinate with such big with bigger groups like that, but hey, if it's working for you guys, good on you. I could see what you mean though, that his name is Matt. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
He's really leading the pack.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I hope I get to interview them or something.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And you guys said you're having a release soon?
Soon. I think that's all I can say.
Yeah. What were you about to say before that?
It'd be awesome to be on the podcast three times.
Three times. No, you know, I just won't interview you. We won't mention you at all. Whatever. Sure. No, it's fine. Because I remember I was going to interview the other band that you're in and everything, and I was gonna have like small little segments with everyone and then have like a really big. We could do that
I think it'd just be better if we just did it all at once.
At once? Are you sure?
Yeah, that'd just be easier, I think.
Instead for of like you having, guys or for me?
For just everyone. I also think it'd be funnier.
You think it'd be fun if we had? Well, that's what I, because I, what I was going to do is there would still be a segment where I'd talk to all of you, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, like, I talk to all of you at the same, that would be probably the bulk of the episode. I talk to all of you at the same time, but I want to have like at least maybe 5 minute segments, 5 minute interviews or something like that with you, like in between or something. And then like for you, I'll have like a 2 minute interview where we just talk about iCarly or something.
For sure.
And then that'll be it. Like we won't even talk about music or anything. It'll just be iCarly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I put all you together.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. But if you're listening to this episode, please do check out Bleacher's Only Child. I will make sure to link. You guys have a Spotify, right?
Yeah.
I'll link to the Spotify or their YouTube, one or the other.
We actually have like a smart URL that like links to all platforms.
That links to what?
It links to all of our platforms that we're on. So like Tidal and Spotify and like Apple Music and stuff.
Well, I'll make sure to link to that then.
For sure.
Bleacher's Only Child. Okay, yeah, guys, everyone check them out. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that we could discuss with?
Not really. I don't think anything comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, hey, is there anything like? I mean, with Bittersweet, is there anyone that you want to tell the listeners if they haven't listened to it yet, or if they have?
Go listen to it, please, pretty please.
could you please listen to this album, please
listen to it, please.
Please. Just like incessant begging.
That's actually just the entire album.
The entire album is just
It's just me going, please keep listening, please.
No, like it like starts out like the first like few beats are like the actual song, and then it just goes into, please could you please listen to the rest of the album, please.
So funny.
Yeah, that's like the biggest incentive is that there's just like a whole part where he's just begging for you to listen to the rest of the album.
Yeah.
But I think we're good. We are almost at like an hour, I think.
Oh wow.
I'm not sure. I never know. I don't know. I can't tell time. But yeah, is there anything else that you want to tell the Roost members, the Coop members?
No. Not really.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we can stop here. Yeah, make sure to listen to Bleacher's Only Child. I'll link them down below and listen to Bittersweet. Hopefully I can get a pre-save link or something. If not, I'll just like put the whole album somewhere like in the middle of the podcast. But yeah, please listen to it if you can. It'll release on the 30th. Hopefully I will have this episode out by then. I'm gonna prioritize it over the like other like 15 episodes that I have recorded.
15. So. Wow. I feel so special.
Yeah, of course. The things I do for the musician. Yeah. Just as somebody, but like I said earlier, like this podcast is only gonna exist just to promote your stuff at some point. So I might as well get used to it. But anyway, yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening in, and thank you once again, Lee, for being on here. Can't wait until you're on here like 100 times or something. I don't know. Once again, guys, my name is Brooke, and toodle pip, toodle-o, and goodbye. See ya. I can't think straight for it. Wow, 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 wow. I might take a hit for it. Wow, 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 wow. I can't think straight for it. Wow, 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 wow. I might take a hit for it. Wow.